I'm here with noted author, the author of Tiny Acts of Rebellion.
Noted.
Noted. Written by Professor Rich Fulcher.
Duly.
Duly noted, of the Mighty Boosh. I'm so glad that you called it Tiny Acts of Rebellion, because our lawyers would have had to get onto you if you had called it Reduced Acts of Rebellion.
Yes, of course.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 168, Tiny Rebellious Acts. Our old friend Rich Fulcher from the Mighty Boosh has written Tiny Acts of Rebellion, 97 almost legal ways to stick it to the man. Let me read to you from the back cover. Let's face it says, we'd all love to topple a government or stage a full-scale rebellion, but who's got the time or energy these days? Never fear, Tiny Acts of Rebellion can help. Tiny Acts certainly seems like it's in the Reduced spirit. So when we were in London shooting Lost Reduced, I had the chance to chat with Rich about his very funny new book. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you. Huzzah.
Huzzah to all of us. Now, I know that you're an American, but yes.
You do?
I do. I've known this for a while, but you live in England.
Yes.
Which makes you an English comedian.
I would guess so. Yes, I am pretty much categorized as an... Notice I do have a Sherlock Holmes pipe at the moment.
And the hat is fetching.
Yes, of course, thank you. But yeah, I live here, but I also, you know, I go to L.A. and I...
You get around. I say no more, say no more.
Get around.
Right.
Chim-chim-chery.
Wow, you've studied under both Dick Van Dyke and Don Cheadle from Ocean's 11.
And Dick Van Patten.
That accent is enough, but you know. But is it true, or is it just my impression that every single U.K. comedian gets to write a book?
Well,
is it in the contract? You sign a paper at immigration? How does that work?
Austin, please.
How does that work?
If you look on the bookshelves, you will find a lot of British comedians. Okay.
True.
But it doesn't mean that I wrote a good... I didn't write a funny book.
No, I did not at all mean to disparage or in any way assume that the book wasn't worthy of publication.
I mean, I know Frank Boyle wrote a book, but I wrote a funny book too!
And see... in America, I'll go onto Wikipedia and find out who Frank Boyle is.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, he's funny. He's really funny.
Okay. But the fantastic thing is, because of your renown and your infamy with the Mighty Boosh, a publisher was willing to take a risk on you writing a funny book, which is fantastic.
Yeah, well... we had written a year before, we had written The Book of Boosh, which did really well.
Yeah.
And I had contributed to that. And I just, just said, hey, I want to write a book. I want to be me.
In passing,
be
a little.
Me. I've got to be me.
When I think of you, I think of Broadway.
Yes.
But they took you up. I mean, you clearly had some ideas of your own. And they said.
Yes. I fooled them. No, there was this idea, because people go, what do you want to write a book about? And I go, I was thinking about what I like to do. And throughout my life, I had always done these little, not pranks, but like tiny little acts of rebellion, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you know, you're in the shopping supermarket, mm-hmm. not shopping supermarket, the supermarket.
Right.
And you throw stuff in your mom's... you know,
cart,
shopping cart, yeah. And then she gets surprised when, you know, like little things like
that. And that's
that.
Your way of sticking it to the man.
Yeah, except I kept doing that throughout my life. And so the bottom line was I just wrote these things down and I thought, well, this would make a good book.
Well, it is, and it is a very funny book. And as I've told you,
funny,
as I've told you, it holds a the place of pride, and our downstairs loo, where it gets thumbed through quite frequently. But
you're taking a dump.
Yes, but it's clearly written from a very real place. I mean, but your kind of career has been an act of rebellion, hasn't it? You went to law school and decided, no, I'm not. I'm going to pretend to be a lawyer, but be a comedian instead.
Yeah, I'm keeping it real.
That's it real for the homies.
Yeah. And so I try to write these things down throughout my life, like what I like to do. Like, for instance, you know, we all like to, when there's a performance, you're at a play or something, mm-hmm. people clap. You want to be maybe the last person to clap. So you go, and somebody
that
else
extra.
Claps, and you do that extra clap.
Oh, nice.
Or somebody's giving a speech or something, and then you just clap during the middle of it, which I like to call the pop clap.
The pop clap.
Yeah, so, you know, and so I wrote these things down.
These are ways of not just sticking it to the man, but sort of standing out and making your own mark. If you're not an artist, if you're not creating something, you can still create, do something that has a lasting impact.
Yes, because I think the theory behind it is we're all frustrated that we don't have control over our lives. So if we don't rebel, we're going to be like that Michael Douglas character in Falling Down.
With a bad buzz haircut?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And not just about the haircut.
Oh, I see. But
we're just going to be like, go ape shit.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Can I say ape?
Yeah, you can say ape.
Yeah. And go nuts because we don't have that daily act of, so this, I'm doing a public service.
So that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a self-help book. It sounds like a book to kind of keep people honest and sane in this crazy world.
Yes, because, like, say you're at a restaurant, you don't like the waiter, flip him behind the menu. Give him the big flip off.
Okay, and it could be an American being the one finger bird, but it could be the backwards V here in the UK. Yeah?
Yes, exactly. Whatever you want to do, if you're in Czechoslovakia, it's the upside down Ungerstad. No, I don't know.
but you can't do that without stretching first.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you do whatever you have to do.
Right.
And then you feel good about yourself, like you're about to land in the plane,
right.
And it's about to, is it dock? Do you dock the plane?
Do you just land the plane?
Yes.
Park it. I don't know.
But they always say, keep your seatbelt on, unlatch your safety belt.
Really?
Yes.
That's
do
not going to...
And
really?
Feel good about really? Yourself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying do it.
That's okay is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's okay.
But this is the thing. What happens if they catch you? At what point, if they catch me committing...
I read Rich Fulcher's book!
Yes, at what point do I committed a tiny act of rebellion, they throw me in the clink and I say, is that a legitimate excuse? I read a book and it told me to do this?
The clink. Who says the clink?
The Germans.
Okay.
Colonel Clink and...
Oh, God! But, yes, you have to...
Sorry, sort of, the Hooskow.
You have to use your judgment, of course.
Right.
I mean... There are things which are slightly almost bordering on illegal.
Uh-huh.
Like, for instance, you're at a four-way stop, and you're in the middle of a rural area.
Yeah.
No one's around,
right.
And there's no one. So why not just go through the red line?
That's you rebel.
It's very rebellious, and it's illegal. So I've said it. So sorry.
Now is your publisher? This is the Tiny Acts of Rebellion is published by who now?
Michael O'Mara.
By Michael O'Mara. Did the publisher insist that you put some sort of disclaimer in that you're not really encouraging?
And I think basically I came up with this: the author is not responsible for anything ever. That was it. Yeah.
Well, another true to life mantra that you live by.
Yes. And I, you know, that went through several lawyers. So, yeah, barristers. Yeah.
Well, and you, and the book, you got some fantastic blurbs. Bale Bailey, inventive, hilarious, and wonderfully silly. Simon Pegg says, Rich Fulcher is hands down one of the funniest men on the planet, and I'm not entirely sure he's from Earth. So he's really basically saying that you're one of the funniest people on several planets.
Maybe it's also saying that maybe Simon Pegg doesn't know what's going on.
Or that you have a picture of him doing something really illegal.
Maybe I have a blackmail thing.
Hey guys, Will Durst here, author of The All-American Sport of Bipartisan Bashing, former radio show host, former margarine smuggler from Wisconsin, and you know what you're listening to. You're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare podcast, and you are a lucky one to do it.
Where can you see the RSC? You can watch Lost Reduced on YouTube, and on March 5th, we begin our two-week run of the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged at the New Victory Theater in New York City. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. And speaking of publicity, Rich and I continued our conversation about how, aside from doing podcast interviews, he's managing to get the word out about his book, Tiny Acts of Rebellion. All right, so you've written the book.
Yes.
All right, once you've written a book, Rich Fulcher.
What happens?
What happens? How do you get the word
celebrate
out? You celebrate.
First.
Yes.
And that's like 2 weeks. And then what?
And then what? You have been a publicity...
Hound.
Whore, I was going to say.
Whore.
Hound and whore.
Yes.
A whorehound. That was as a candy, I think.
Mostly Twitter.
But with the Twitter, but also on Facebook, you did these fantastic videos. You flipped off Big Ben as a tiny act of rebellion. Big Ben, you know, I don't know if you know this, it's the bell, not the tower.
You pedant, you. Yes, I know that. Yes, sorry. But, yeah, I try to use these social networks to get my...
Well, try. I mean, I think you're succeeding, and I mean, you're tweeting a ton. You're using the Facebook. You're getting these videos out there, and I mean, you've got this newsletter that you're doing weekly, which is really great. So my question is: A, how do you do it? And because it seems like an awful lot of work, and B, does it work?
First, a lot of vitamins.
Okay.
Or vitamins.
Vitamins.
B6 and B12.
Okay.
Mostly. And then...
B6 or not B6, that is the question?
Yes. I think it does work because you get the word out, and then afterwards, it's just sort of a ripple effect. People talk to other people. And also, I'm, you know, people know me in the States and here in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And then... You know, it's just sort of, I don't know what I'm saying.
But the book, actually, Tiny Acts of Rebellion, isn't even sold in the U.S. It's not published in the U.S.
No, but I get people saying that I've just bought it because they order it.
Because people in the U.S. could buy it at Amazon.co.uk, couldn't
they? Yes.
And have it shipped over.
Please order it now.
It's a very funny book. It's a very funny book. But I'm wondering, is your publisher big enough that it has a... A marketing team, a publicity team, because I know you did it. Went around the country and did a bunch of appearances.
No, it does.
Are you getting support from your publisher too?
Yes, absolutely. They just have a really boffo publicity team. We go out all.
Oh,
over
you
the
said
country.
Boffo.
Yeah, I know. That's
I said clink, and you said boffo.
What's that all about?
That's Ginchy, dude. Oh. You're the Ginchiest.
Ginchy, boffo, Ginchy. No, but we go all over the country. I've done signings everywhere, and it's just really worked out.
So it's working.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, and it seems like your major tiny act of rebellion thus far is that you made the UK Borders bookstores go bankrupt. Well done.
Yeah.
You.
Thank you. I sort of. I would put little bits of fecal matter in every book and run around and say, Starbucks sucks!
That's rebellious.
No, but I don't know what happened with Borders. It just went...
Wasn't you. Yeah. Well, but you were saying earlier today that they don't sell as many books in the UK as they do in the US. But it seems like... My impression as a U.S. person, as an American, it seems like the U.K. people are much more literate, much more of a book-buying nation than Americans. Is that wrong?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, but I don't know what it is. Maybe they, you know what, maybe they read papers, newspapers, and it takes them so long to read that they don't have time to read the book.
Well, that could well be. I mean, your average Brit is definitely more informed about American politics, more informed than American politics than your average Yank, for sure.
Yank.
Yank. Now, we know Rich from when we lived in Chicago, when he, D. Ryan, and Tim Schuneman performed in an improv group called Blue Vervain. Tim Schuneman went on to perform The Complete History of America Abridged at the Noble Fool Theater in Chicago with a young man named Dominic Conti. And then Tim became an actual member of the Rodeo Shakespeare Company when we performed Bible and Hollywood in Chicago in 2007. If you saw those productions, you probably saw Tim. Well, we just got word that Tim Schuneman lost his battle with cancer last week on February 15th, 2010. He leaves behind his wife and daughter and, of course, all of us. Tim was a great guy, a wonderful performer, and just a terrific spirit. We would have had him touring with us around the world if his health had allowed it. You can hear him performing in podcast episode number 47, Play by Play, with us making wise-ass comments from the balcony. But I also found these other fantastic recordings of Tim just holding forth the way we remember him.
And I was going to say, the thing that's interesting, too, is when we watch you guys, you try to do the lines while you guys do them, which is real difficult playing the Austin part, because there's distinct, Austin is, your performance is never the same. I mean, you wrote it, so you're kind of, you do this and that, which I like. It's kind of the freedom to change with the audience, where Reed is like a rock.
Yes.
I mean, you know he's going to hit the beat, he's going to hit the thing, he's going to do everything the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen so that way.
Which makes him either a better actor than me, or not as good of an actor, I can't tell.
Or an android.
He's an android, yes.
That's different styles, and I like the style, the freedom to know that I can go out there some nights and do whatever the hell I want. I think you have to be connected with the audience, because you know there's a joke that 99 times will work, and there's that 100th time where for some reason that audience doesn't like the joke or doesn't get it, so you have to anticipate that there may not be a laugh. You've got to be flexible, because every audience is completely different.
Right.
And you can have an audience that's not laughing at all, but if you look, they're smiling.
Yeah.
You can feel that they're with you. You can't judge an audience, because you just don't know until you get out there.
Yeah.
My favorite part of Bible, and I won't give away the secret, but it's near the end. It's Jesus is resurrected.
Yeah, right.
Where you have this little, Austin has this little speech, and it gets silent.
Yeah.
You can hear a pin drop. It becomes very serious. And the thing is, you have a comedy, then you need to get out of that.
Yeah.
They're waiting. They're with you. And it's just such a great moment when you do that little turn, and you go comic, and they're with you. And that's my favorite moment in the show. It's dumb jokes written by smart guys.
Yeah.
Because to do the Bible show, you have to know the Bible inside and out to make fun of it.
Right.
So there's layers to it. As much as a joke may look dumb, there's a few layers there, and you have to go. I mean, I'm a good Irish Catholic boy, and I learned more about the Bible from this show than I did from 8 years of parochial school.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us any questions or feedback via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reduceshakespeare.com, and our Reduce Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reduceshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Tiny Rebel Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. A random fan shout-out this week goes to Annie Candy. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Will Durst, author of The All-American Sport of Bipartisan Bashing, and Rich Fulcher. Order a copy of Tiny Acts of Rebellion wherever you are in the world, and you will love it. Thanks very much to you also for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 168 504ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Schuneman.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.